I wanted to follow up a little bit in terms of the issue of dose tenses. One of the things that we're seeing in our patterns of care studies, and I'm curious what your take is increasing use of dose dense AC without paclitaxel. Is that something you do in your practice, and what are your thoughts about it?
So to be sure, CLGB 9741 doesn't inform us about which component of the regimen, AC or paclitaxel, is most important, if there is one component, to give in a dose dense fashion. So I don't see any reason to necessarily differentiate the two components based on anything we know about their mechanisms of action, for example. When I do have a patient for whom I feel a taxane isn't so crucial, and maybe that's the node negative patient whose disease is ER positive and she's going to derive benefit from anti-estrogen, where I don't think the taxane component is so important, my habit is to give AC times 4 in a dose-dense fashion. We await the results of the CLGB-led trial, which compares dose-dense AC times 4 versus dose-dense AC times 6, where in a bifactorial design, the other two comparators are paclitaxel, dose-dense times 4, or dose-dense times 6. So I think that those results will help us, number one, in the duration question, but also to determine whether we might perhaps in certain lower-risk group patients be able to avoid an anthracycline entirely. I've certainly had scenarios where I've had a patient who's had a second primary tumor. A woman may have had AC or FEC or FAC in the past, where I may want to avoid an anthracycline again, even avoid an alkylating agent again. So I think these data are going to be important from a number of perspectives.
Of course, they won't tell us whether dose-dense AC is the same as non-dose-dense AC.
No, and I'm not aware of any trial that's actually asking that specific question.
Well, again, kind of getting back to this theme of when do you make your move, it seems like a lot of people are starting to do that based on just what they've observed in terms of how people tolerate dose-dense AC as opposed to non-dose-dense AC.
Yeah, I think that for docs who feel that, for example, bone pain from Neupogen or Neulasta is a significant issue, they may be inclined away from extrapolating and giving AC in a dose-dense fashion.
Plus the cost.
Yeah, and the cost. But again, I can't tease out which component of AC paclitaxel is most important, if there is any. All I can say is that as a regimen, when one is going to give those drugs, that seems to be the appropriate way to give it. Charlie Shapiro, my CLGB colleague at Ohio State University, had a poster showing the feasibility of using a dose-dense sequential AC taxotere, a docetaxel regimen. But in order to do that, the docetaxel dose was 75 milligrams per meter squared, and that's feasible if you give docetaxel at 75 per meter squared every 2 weeks. Others have previously reported that giving 100 per meter squared every 2 weeks in a regimen with dose-dense anthracycline was prohibitively toxic. I believe John Crown, George Raptis, I think, may have reported on that previously.
So what did these data show?
So these data showed feasibility, reasonable toxicity, if you want to give a dose-dense sequential regimen where docetaxel is reduced from 100 to 75. There was no comparator arm, so we can't say how this compares to anything else. Should we be concerned about a dose reduction of docetaxel in the adjuvant setting? Perhaps yes, since in metastatic disease, a randomized trial has shown us that 100 per meter squared is a more active regimen than 75 or 60.